بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه، أما بعد، فنبدأ بإذن الله تعالى في شرح كتاب قاعدة جليلة في التوسل والوسيلة لشيخ الإسلام أحمد ابن تيمية رحمه الله تعالى. وكما ذكرنا، هذا الكتاب يعني يتناول يعني موضوع توحيد الألوهية، وهو إفراد الله سبحانه وتعالى بالعبادة، ويفند شبهات ويفند شبهات
And here,
من
the book basically focus on the
تتعلق قلوبهم بغير الله تعالى
explanation of the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by all its three meanings and as means to answer the misconceptions and misunderstandings of the meaning of intercession, which is wasila. So when we say wasila, it basically means intercession. And many times people will use means that are questionable or maybe even forbidden means and think that this is the intercession. So the book starts by, in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the merciful, the most beneficent, praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one that we seek refuge from him and the one that we seek forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of our own souls and from the evil of our deeds. Whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide, nobody is going to misguide. And whoever Allah let go astray, nobody is going to guide. And I bear witness that there is no one worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger and servant. Allah sent him with the guidance and the deen of truth. And that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent بين يدي الساعة, which means closer to the hereafter, and as a warner to people, and as an inviter, one that invite people to the to invite to the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with clarity. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to open eyes for people that are blind about this truth. So Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah made him a reason to make people aware and see the truth and see the right path towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to the deaf ears that could not hear the truth, Allah has sent Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to help them, and to the hearts that are shielded completely. But Allah sent Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to basically unshield them and open them. So Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Allah sent him, he came and he has guided people towards the truth, and he made everything clear to people. And Allah took him, or took his soul. So Allah and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he died, and after he has made a clear distinction between the evil and the truth, and he had also made it clear the way to the paradise and the way to the hellfire. So anything that's halal or lawful is only lawful because Allah made it lawful. And anything that's haram or forbidden is haram because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us it is unlawful and haram, or the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that it is haram or unlawful. And the deen of Allah, or the deen of Islam, of Allah, is only what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has defined as deen. So anything that comes beyond what Allah has defined as deen is rejected, and it's not acceptable. And Allah has sent Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to both jinn and mankind.
ويتبعه في باطنه وظاهره.
So it's been made as it's been made as an obligation for everyone to follow Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to accept and believe in what Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with. So, and that would be in both the external action and deeds we do, and also internal things as far as the belief in it and in our hearts and our thoughts. And to follow Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is the way to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the way of Allah, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that what defined the deen of Allah, the deen of Allah, which is that. And that is the way to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that will also define the way of worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how to be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah said in the Quran, O Muhammad, tell them that if you love me, which means live Allah, then follow Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And to be obedient to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is as if you were obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah made it an obligation to obey Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So anyone would claim that they are good believers and they do things to contradict the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that would not be accepted.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وابتغوا إليه الوسيلة.
And the intercession is anything that we use to be used as a means to make us reach a certain goal.
Okay.
And here wasila is anything that would make us understand and be closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here our wasila or our means is to be obedient to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to follow what Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us as the means and way to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in this verse here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O you who believe, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seek the means towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here that means, which means the wasila here is to follow the teaching of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is, this verse has been misinterpreted by many of the Sufis. The Sufis, they said the wasila here or the means is to have somebody to help you or be as an intermediate between you and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah. And they said that our means or our wasila is to have some human being between you and Allah. And they say, okay, your wasila or your means here is to have somebody like Sheikh al-Badawi or Sheikh X and X. So they name many sheikhs and they say, these are our wasila. And we ask Allah through them, and they would be like between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is a very very unacceptable and non-valid claim. And when we read in the tafsir of the Quran, none of them has said this. The wasila in this verse literally means is to the wasila is the means which is in term of deeds and worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and following the teaching of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be closer to Allah. Even the prophets and the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they were means to help us know how to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they were never between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were only there to convey the right understanding of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, and they are means in the meaning that they will explain things to us, they show us how to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said this explicitly to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Quran, if my servants ask you about me, tell them that I am so close to them. So that means when we need to deal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we don't need anything between us and Him. There's a direct route to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also many of those who mislead people, they would make analogy between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a human being king who's unjust and unfair and that he's not in touch with the condition of servants. And it's unlike Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, unlike the kings of among mankind, you know. Like if you want to see a king or a president or somebody, you have to go through many routes and talk to many people that will help you. People that will be between you and him, people that will talk to. And if you go to them, they don't even recognize who you are, and they don't know your condition, and they don't probably care less who you are, and they don't know what you need. Or maybe they is just so mean towards you, or they have so much hardship and hardness in their heart towards you. So they're never merciful towards you. And there's no mercy in their heart. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most merciful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what's in the heart of His servants and their condition. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need anyone to explain your condition to Him. Allah knows your condition more than you do. But the king among you human beings, and many times, I mean, there will be reasons, even if they do things for you, I mean, those kings and among human beings, they do them for reasons, either because they know you or somebody that you know, they know them, or etc. But they never, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is never like that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is exalted. We can never make that the comparison between Allah and the human kings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need anyone of us on this life. As we will see later in this book, that the early mushrikeen, those who used to associate somebody with Allah, they used to worship those idols, and believing that those idols are going to be like the means to make them closer to Allah, the Creator. And when they were asked about it, they said, well, we worship these idols only to make us closer to Allah. So this is the same thing here. So this ayah, the verse that we just talked about, is that fear Allah and seek the wasila, or the means toward Allah. And here the wasila, or this means basically is to follow the teaching of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here in the explanation of this verse, the wasila, the very basic meaning of it is to have belief and faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to do the right deeds, which is explained at the beginning of the verse. Oh you who believe, fear Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that my servant will do deeds that will make him closer and closer to me, and he will do what he's been asked to do, besides he will do extra worshipping until I like him or I love him. When I love him, I will give him power and give him everything. So when Allah loved his servant, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if I love my servant, whenever he asks something, I'll give it to him. When he asks forgiveness, I forgive him. And I basically grant anything that he asks me for. So, and here the wasila in this verse are those means that the servant will take and do to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in terms of worshipping Allah and being obedient to Allah. And another way also, when you have belief in your heart and you do good deeds to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you can ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala based on this belief that you have in your heart and the good deeds that you have done. So you can say, oh Allah, we believed in you and we did righteous things. So Allah forgive us. So, like when you supplicate to Allah, if you have done good things for the sake of Allah only, you can mention them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your supplication. And you say, oh Allah, I have done this and this and this for your sake. So Allah, do this for me. Like the story of the three guys, or three men that were trapped in the cave. And the rock has come and rolled and basically shut the exit to the cave. So each one of them started mentioning some of the good things that he did for the sake of Allah. And then ask Allah based on that to relieve them. So when they were trapped in there, they said that let each one of us supplicate to Allah and mention something good that we did for the sake of Allah. And based on that, ask Allah to release us. So each one of them will supplicate to Allah and will mention something good that he did for the sake of Allah. And once they did that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would release him. So in this case, you believe in Allah, and if you have done good deeds for the sake of Allah, as a result of that good belief, then you can mention it and supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you can mention that, and you can mention and pledge to Allah that you believed in Him and you did the good, what Allah has commanded you. So, seeking here where the wasila to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is basically to follow the means. By having the iman in the heart and by doing the being obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it is never to have as means some kind of human being between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and because that is considered shirk, which means that is considered like you associate somebody with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, and that's the same situation about the mushrikeen and among the Arabs at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So,
قال وهذا التوسل بالإيمان به وطاعته فرض على كل أحد في كل حال
باطنا وظاهرا means of getting closer to Allah by having the iman or faith and in the heart and by being obedient to Allah's commands is a must for the believer is a must for every believer
بعد قيام الحجة
and this is at the time of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was present, or if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not present, so we have to follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, both with our deeds that other people can see, and with our internal belief in Allah, which is in our heart, and this also have to be done whether the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is alive or dead, or if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was physically there at his life or he was absent. So none of these are going to drop off at any condition. So all these means of tawassul or means of getting closer to Allah through the deeds and the belief in Allah, they all as one package, and they all have to be there.
فهذا يكون أو عنده عذر من الأعذار أنه بعث النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو ايه كان هذا كان شخص مثلا كان مجنونا او كان
unless that there is very strong reason for the person to miss some of that, like say for example if somebody was insane or he did not comprehend what the Prophet was teaching or what Allah was commanding. So then there has to be a very legitimate reason for the person to not to have the whole means.
ولا طريق إلى كرامة الله ورحمته والنجاة من هوانه وعذابه إلا التوسل بالإيمان به.
There is no way out of the and there is no way out or any excuse to avoid the punishment and the torment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by not following the tawassul of this. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the Shafi' al-Khalaiq, which means he is the intercessor for all the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
اتباع السلف الصالح وكذا ينكرون شفاعة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أو أنهم يبغضون رسول الله تعالى الله عن ذلك، ولكن وحاشاهم وإنما يعني يقرر شيخ الإسلام أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم
the Sheikh al-Islam, the author of the book, he is confirming that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is the intercessor. And he is the one who's going to be in the Maqam al-Mahmud, which means the desired status or the highest status. And that is including the intercession in it. And the hereafter, people will be waiting for a long time. People on the hereafter, in the day of judgment, will be waiting on the scene so that Allah will rule upon them. Allah will rule for their faith. And they will be asking anybody to make intercession to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have mercy on them. And that people will go to all the prophets and messengers of Allah. Each one of them will pass intercession and responsibility to the one after him until it will end in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will say, I am for it, I am for it. Which means he is going to do the intercession on behalf of the people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have mercy upon people. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will do the intercession. So and here this is where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will supplicate to Allah, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and intercede on behalf of the people. So that and he will ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make the ruling upon all the people and have mercy upon them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have done this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not need anyone to ask him to do this for that. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing this as a way of honoring Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by giving him this honor to come and talk and intercede for the people. So that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show the whole creation that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam interceded for them and Allah granted that. So that will honor Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by doing that and giving him that great honor.
فهو صاحب المقام المحمود الذي يضبطه
به الأولون
فهو أعظم الشفعاء
قدرا
عند الله
and he is the one that is of the highest status in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is the greatest one that can intercede for people. Because all the prophets are going to basically pass the responsibility of it to somebody else. Except Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going to take it. Everyone would say, myself. Everyone wanted to rescue himself. But Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be there and he would be asking for people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about Musa. And Musa كان عند الله وجيها
وجيها له جاه من الله وجيها
موسى he was
له جاه من
وقال تعالى موسى he was well respected and he was in a special status in front of
الدنيا
esteem
عليه السلام يعني له جاه عند الله تعالى.
Which means he has this jah means also great status or great position and in the sight of Allah سبحانه وتعالى.
وهؤلاء الأنبياء موسى وعيسى.
And that's both in this life and hereafter. And موسى and عيسى may Allah blessing be with them. They have intercessions, but it's going to be limited and a special type of intercessions. It's not going to be for like all mankind, like Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. And Allah will respond to them and grant them also. But the great intercession for everybody, that is only Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم.
قال ومحمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أعظم جاها من جميع الأنبياء والمرسلين. لكن شفاعته ودعاؤه إنما ينتفع بهما من شفع له الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم ودعا له.
What did they say that Musa is going to be to have intercession in front of Allah, but the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم Muhammad is going to have a greater intercession. But the intercession of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم is going to benefit from it only those whom Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم will do it on their behalf. So like if somebody that was mushrik, somebody that used to associate somebody with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, cannot come and ask Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم to intercede for him, because that person died when he was associated somebody with Allah. So that person basically is, but only those whom Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم would intercede for them are going to benefit from them, and those whom Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم is going to
for them.
So whoever the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم has made supplication for and interceded for,
are the
ones that are going to be benefited from it, and that intercession of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم is going to be a means for those people to benefit from it and be closer to Allah
سبحانه وتعالى. يتوسلون إلى الله بدعائه وشفاعته.
Just like his followers, the companions, used to ask Allah, supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they used to mention Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم in their supplication to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he was alive. And as we said before, the permissible tawassul or the permissible means is to have the right faith and to have the right good deeds. This we can use them as means to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So number one, you have to have belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and second is to do the right deeds, and when you supplicate, you can use that faith and good deeds and mention them in your supplication. So you say, oh Allah, I have been believing in you, oh Allah, I have been doing the righteous deeds, so Allah relieve me from this problem.
التوسل بدعاء
النظر
الرجل الصالح في حياته.
Another one, another good thing to mention in the supplication is to mention the deeds of a pious, righteous person when that person is alive.
وهذا سواء من النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم
whether that's the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم
من غيره
or somebody else. So as long as that person is alive, so the Muslim is making supplication, he can mention that righteous person and the righteous deed that he used to do. So this can be considered one of the means to that we can include in our supplication. So like the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, the companions, when they had any difficulty or there is any drought, they used to go to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and they used to ask the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم to make supplication that Allah would bring rain down. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم would make that supplication. After the death of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, what did the companion do? They did not ask the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم to help them, because the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم passed away already. So they even though they believed in Prophet ﷺ as a messenger of Allah and everything, but and they knew that the Prophet ﷺ is in the life between this here life and hereafter. But after his death, they never used to ask the Prophet ﷺ. What did they do? They asked Al-Abbas, the uncle of the Prophet
ﷺ.
And they did that at the time of Umar ibn Khattab, when Umar ibn Khattab was the leader of the Muslims. Al-Abbas was asked, and they did the prayer for the rain to come down, and they made the supplication. And also at the time of Muawiyah, he asked who's the Yazid, Al-Aswad ibn Yazid. Also a pious person to make the supplication, and they would ask some of the good believers to do the prayers and supplicate. So if asking Allah by somebody who's dead is permissible, then the companions would have done that using the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But once the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam died, the companions never asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala using the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So there is a third type of tawassul, another means of supplicating, and that is by using the attributes and the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So like you mentioned the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, any one of those 99 names during its supplication. That's another way of, or another means that are permissible.
هناك التوسل الممنوع نوعان.
The forbidden means
التوسل الممنوع.
There are forbidden types. There are two types. One that is novation, and another one that is shirk, or like associating somebody with Allah. The one that's novation actually in itself is like means towards the shirk.
So,
and always there is the concern and the fear that it might lead to ultimate shirk if people do it. And the one that's innovation is after the death of the Prophet ﷺ, people will go to him and ask Allah that. Mentioning Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam name as means that Allah will do this for them. They say, oh Allah, I ask you, Allah, by the greatness of the status of Muhammad to do this for us. And this is after Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam died. So that's the innovation type. This is called the innovation tawassul, the innovative means, which is not acceptable. So none of the companions did that, or no, the Prophet never did that, because it would lead to even worse results. And the other type of forbidden means is the shirki, when you associate somebody with Allah, and this is when you ask somebody directly to help you, like the dead person. Like you come to the grave of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and say, oh Muhammad, help me do this. And you are not asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here. So this is here, you know, you are asking Muhammad just like any believer would ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in this case, that is like associating someone with Allah. So now we have the permissible means that we talked about them before. and we had the forbidden types, two of them. And the Sheikh al-Islam, in this book, he's making it clear and distinction between the acceptable types and the forbidden types. And one of the tawassul that is acceptable, when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was alive, you go to him and ask him to make supplication for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for any reason. Like the companions used to do, and that's permissible. And whoever that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم would make supplication for them,
كما كان أصحابه يتوسلون
for
إلى
them,
الله
just like the companion used to do that. They used to go and ask him to
وكما
make
يتوسل الناس يوم القيامة إلى الله تبارك وتعالى.
This is going to happen in the hereafter. People will come and ask Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم to make supplication and intercession for them.
يوم القيامة عندما يذهب
الناس the day of judgment when people are there on the day of judgment, people would come to Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم and say, oh Muhammad, intercede for us
to Allah وبعث الناس.
People will be brought up from their graves in the hereafter on the day of judgment, and they will come and they will ask Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم to intercede, because Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم is back alive at that point, and he is going to do that for them.
قال ولفظ التوسل في عرف الصحابة رضي الله عنهم.
And the term of tawassul, according to the understanding of the companions, was just what we just explained. Like Umar ibn al-Khattab, when he asked al-Abbas, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Umar said, oh Allah, we used to ask you to relieve us when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was alive, but now the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died, so we are going to ask you, Allah, to relieve us. With Al-Abbas, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the reason because Al-Abbas was alive at that day. And here Umar ibn Khattab, when he said, oh Allah, we're going to ask you with the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's not that Umar has asked Allah and said by the name of Al-Abbas, but he went to Al-Abbas and asked Al-Abbas to make the supplication.
والتوسل بدعائه وشفاعته ينفع مع الإيمان به وأيضا هنا إيه؟
The supplication and the intercession of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going to be of benefit and of good results when we have the right faith and we do the right deeds.
لا تغني عنهم شفاعة
But the one who disbelieves in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and
Allah
the hypocrites who do not do good deeds and who do not have good faith, the intercession is not going to help them. So it's not going to help them in the hereafter. Even if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Quran, if you ask forgiveness for them 70 times, Allah will not forgive them. Because they are either disbelievers or hypocrites. So for the supplication and intercession of the Prophet ﷺ to be useful and of good results, the person that is going to seek it has to have a good faith and has to have good deeds.
قال ولهذا وقال تعالى عن الكافرين إيه؟ لا تنفعهم شفاعة الشفاعة.
And Allah said about the disbelievers.
قال ولهذا نهي عن
الاستغفار
لعمه وأبيه وغيرهما.
And that's why Allah سبحانه وتعالى told the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم not to seek forgiveness for his uncle, Abu Talib and his father.
ما كان للنبي والذين آمنوا يستغفروا للمشركين ولو كان
من الله سبحانه وتعالى said that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم has no right to make forgiveness or ask forgiveness for the مشركين and the disbelievers even if though they are related to them by blood.
ونهي عن الاستغفار للمنافقين
And also the Prophet ﷺ, Allah has told him not to seek refuge for the hypocrites. Allah said to him, whether you make supplication for them or not, Allah will never forgive them. So whether you ask forgiveness for them or not, Allah will not forgive them. So in here is that like the Prophet ﷺ will make supplication that Allah will forgive them. But it's not going to help them because they are not believers. They did not have the faith in
them.
But if we look among the disbelievers, they may be different types of disbelievers. There are different levels of the believers. I mean disbelievers. There are some disbelief that is worse than other.
قال تعالى إنما النسيء زيادكم في الكفر.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran that forgiveness means that when the people would try to manipulate the sacred months and try to cheat on some of those sacred months by violating the rules. For example, like when you say one of the months is Muharram, people are not allowed to initiate war or do things, and they used to rename Muharram with another month so that they can do mischief and things on that month, even though they are forbidden to do so. And Allah is describing this as kufr or disbelief in itself. So they said this could be. And there are some disbelievers who have helped the Prophet ﷺ in many events. So that's less disbelief than other. So there are worse type of disbelief than others. Unless if there is one that has light disbelief, light kufr, is that going to benefit from the supplication and intercession of the Prophet ﷺ? The intercession will help him, but it will never eliminate Allah's torment and punishment upon that person, because his kufr is not the worst type. As it came in the Sahih Muslim that narrated by Al-Abbas ibn Abd al-Muttalib, the uncle of the Prophet ﷺ, he said, I said, oh Messenger of Allah, did you benefit Abu Talib with anything? Abu Talib used to protect you. So Al-Abbas, uncle of the Prophet ﷺ, is asking the Prophet ﷺ if he has done anything to benefit Abu Talib, his uncle. Because Abu Talib used to protect the Prophet ﷺ, and he used to basically be there for him. The Prophet ﷺ said, yes. He is and which means he's been exposed to hellfire, but unless for me he would have been at the bottom of that hellfire, which means the worst spot, which means the Prophet ﷺ again said that, you know, he's been exposed to the hellfire but not to the worst part of it, and unless I have asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he would have been in the bottom of that hellfire. And in another narration that Ibn al-Abbas said to the Prophet ﷺ that, you know, Abu Talib used to protect you and used to be angry when you, people would were mean against you. And another narration is Abi Sa'id narrated that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned Abu Talib, and he said that may my intercession will help him in the hereafter. He would be exposed to the hellfire. And he would be exposed to the hellfire when his heels would be exposed to the hellfire, his brain would be boiling from it. And that would be the least punishment
in the hellfire. لئلا يعجل عليهم العذاب في الدنيا. برضو ايه
another
اخر من
another
انتفاع الكافرين
another
بشفاعة النبي صلى الله عليه
intercession
وسلم دعاء
that
انهم
for the
ينتفعون
disbeliever
بشفاعته ودعائه
that Allah
في
will
عدم
not punish them in this
عذاب
life
عليهم في الدنيا
so their punishment will be in the hereafter only
وألا يعاجلهم
so that their punishment will be delayed
كما كان
until
صلى
the
الله عليه وسلم يحكي نبيا من الأنبياء ضربه قومه
the prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was telling about this messenger
now
this prophet of Allah that his people were so mean and they tortured him and as they were doing that evil things to him he was saying oh Allah forgive my people they don't know so it's still like that prophet was giving them the benefit of the doubt that they didn't know that's why they were harming him and doing bad things to him
وروي أنه دعا بذلك أن يغفر له فلا تعجل على من عذابه في الدنيا
that Allah would not punish the disbelievers that used to do evil things to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم
ويسلمون فيكون
and he used to supplicate to Allah that they, that Allah will guide them to the right path and they become believers themselves so and he would ask Allah not to punish them right on the spot so that they may be they will become believers afterward
طلب رفع العقوبة في الآخرة مع بقائهم على الكفر وإنما المقصود إنهالهم وعدم
so that he was the point is that he was making the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم that Allah will give them time on this life so they may believe in him.
قال تعالى ولو يؤاخذ الله الناس بما كسبوا
In the Quran, if Allah is going to make people accountable for everything that they do on this earth, Allah would not have left one living animal on this life. So everyone is going to be accountable and will be vanished and gone because of their deeds. Which means Allah does not make us accountable
وأيضا فقد
at all
يدعو
times
لبعض
in this life.
الكفار لأن يهديه الله أو يرزقه فيهديه أو يرزقه.
And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم would make supplication for many of the disbelievers that Allah will guide them.
يرزقه الله.
Guide them to the right path. So there will be some benefit that the disbelievers will get as the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم will make supplications and intercession to Allah سبحانه وتعالى for
كما دعا لأم أبي هريرة
as the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم made the supplication for the mother of Abu Huraira. So Abu Huraira has asked the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم to make supplication that his mother would believe in Allah. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم made the supplication. When Abu Huraira went home, he found that his mother was a believer already. So Allah has accepted and granted this supplication. Also, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم has made supplication for Daws, and Daws is one of the tribes. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم made supplication that said, Oh Allah, guide those and bring them along.
وكما روى أبو داود
and as narrated by Abu Dawood is
لبعض المشركين لما طلبوا منه
that he has made this supplication for rain to fall
وكان
for
ذلك
some of the disbelievers when they asked him to do so. And that was like one of the favors so that Allah will soften their heart so they become believers. So and that in itself is taken as it is permissible for the Muslim to make supplications for the non-believers when they are in hardship that Allah will relieve it from them. And that might soften their hearts and they would accept Allah deen.
Like
before the war of Badr,
Abu
Sufyan used to be a mushrik, a disbeliever. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam
النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام وهو في المدينة
when he was in Medina
أهل مكة وقال اللهم اجعلها عليهم سنين كسين يوسف
he made supplication for the people of Mecca and said oh Allah may, give them years like the years that came upon the people of Yusuf where there were 7 years that were very drought and dry and hardship and the people of Mecca went through time time when they had droughts and they had nothing to eat, to the point where they ate actually the leaves of the trees. And Abu Sufyan has asked the Prophet ﷺ to make supplication that Allah relieve that from them, even though they were not believers, they were mushrikeen, yet they came to the Prophet ﷺ and asked the Prophet ﷺ to make supplication. And despite the fact that the Prophet ﷺ did it, still they remained as disbelievers. Believers and disbelievers, and they continue to fight him. And the point here of the report is that the Prophet ﷺ did make that supplication for them. And this is one of the favors that the way that to deal in a kind way with the unbelievers.
على أنه صلى الله وسلم أعظم الخلق جاهاً عند الله.
And all the Muslims agree that the one that is more honored by Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم is the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم.
أعظم من جاهل.
So.
ولا شفاعة أعظم من شفاعة.
And there is no intercession that is going to be better than the intercession of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم.
ليس بمنزلة الإيمان بهم وطاعتهم. فإن الإيمان بهم وطاعتهم توجب سعادة الآخرة والنجاة من العذاب مطلقا وعاما.
And here the author said comparing between the means of
through
Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم intercession or which is greater. He said the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم will make intercession and intercession and supplication for us.
And
for the disbeliever, that is not going to benefit them to get out of the hellfire.
But
the disbelievers, the best they can get from the supplication of the Prophet is that the punishment is going to be lighter on them and it's not going to be as severe.
But it's not going to
eliminate that punishment from them. It will never help them to get out of the hellfire or the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
So
this is one of the tawassul of the means with the supplication of the Prophet which means that as far as the disbelievers is going to have a limit, it's not going to have ultimate benefit for them.
لكن الإيمان بالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم واتباع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم
believing in the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم
and
that is going to be like a prerequisite to have the full benefit of the supplication of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم to get in paradise. So
دعاء الأنبياء ليس بمنزلة الإيمان به. يعني كون الأنبياء يدعون.
So that means supplication made by the prophets and messengers is not the same. It's not going to have the same effect as like when the person is believing in them or not. If the person is believing in them, then that's the key thing before they can benefit from the supplication. So a prophet or messenger can make supplication to anybody, but that anybody, if he is a believer, then he will benefit 100% from it. If he is not a believer, then there will be only relative benefit, but the punishment is
still.
So here the point is that here that Shaykh al-Islam he's basically showing that like in sequence, he said that the key thing is to believe in Allah and in the Messenger. Then the supplication would come afterward to get that benefit of that supplication. So like the person who is a mushrik, a disbeliever, even though the Prophet ﷺ will supplicate for him, it's not going to eliminate the punishment completely from them. But if you believe in the messenger and then he supplicates for you, that will be everything.
فإن الإيمان بهم وطاعتهم توجب سعادة الآخرة والنجاة من العذاب
So to believe in them and follow their teaching is going to be the key thing for the great happiness in this life and the hereafter.
ومن مات كافرا بما جاء به الرسول
And whoever died as a disbeliever on what the Prophet ﷺ came with, their destiny is going to be the hellfire. And the supplication and intercessions, in order to be of benefit, there are certain conditions that have to be fulfilled. So there are conditions has to be there before the supplication. Of the
فالشفاعة للكفار
would be
للنجاة من الموت والاستغفار لهم
of use.
For مع موتهم على الكفر لا تنفعون ولو كان الشفيع أعظم
to be released from the hellfire and not to seek forgiveness for them it's not going to happen if they are not believers themselves They have to believe first. So, in this case, even if doing that intercede is the greatest person in the sight of Allah, it's not going to help them. Is there anyone who's greater intercessor than Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم? Obviously not. And even Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم will make supplication for them forgiveness. No. What people that will think about some normal human being will intercede for them. Many people will think that somebody like Sheikh al-Badawi or some scholar would intercede for them. So that's not going to help. I mean, no matter what.
هذا المقبور لا يسمع طلبك ولن يشفع لك وحتى لو شفع لك لن تنفعك هذه الشفاعة إذا مت مشركا
لماذا so one person die as a disbeliever no intercession is going to help them no matter who's doing it
إذا دعوا لشخص مشرك أن يغفر الله له لن يغفر الله له إذا مات
so like if any supplication be made for this believer it's not going to happen like Ibrahim al-Khalil the prophet of Allah he has asked supplication or forgiveness for his father
يقول الخليل إبراهيم عليه السلام استغفر لأبيه
and prophet Abraham has asked Allah forgiveness for his father and he said oh Allah forgive me and my parents and the believers in the day of judgment. So he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive him and his parents.
So he said,
Rabbana, our Lord forgive me and my parents and the believers.
So
he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive him and his father. And his father was a mushrik, was not a believer.
إلا عن موعدة وعدها إياه فلما تبين له أنه عدو لله أبرأ منه.
So Allah سبحانه وتعالى in the Quran said that Abraham has sought forgiveness for his father, but Allah سبحانه وتعالى did not promise to forgive him.
لكن الحاصل أنه استغفر لأبيه.
But the point is that Abraham did make the supplication and asked forgiveness for his father. But it's not going to help him. He's going to be eternal in the hellfire. Even though Abraham is the Khalil al-Rahman, his
وقد كان صلى الله عليه وسلم أراد أن يستغفر لأبي طالب.
Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم wanted to ask forgiveness for Abu Talib. Just like Abraham did for his father.
But وأراد بعض المسلمين أن يستغفر لبعض أقاربهم.
And some of the believers
فأنزل الله تعالى
wanted to make supplication for their مشركين relatives.
ولو كانوا أولي قربى.
But Allah سبحانه وتعالى made that very clear that it is not for the prophet or for the believers to ask forgiveness for any of the disbelievers even if though they are related to them by blood. Especially after it became clear that those are going to end up in the hellfire.
إلا عن موعدة وعدها
And also,
كان إبراهيم وعد آدم أن يستغفر له قال
And Abraham has made asked forgiveness for his
فلما
father.
تبين له
As a result of the promise that Allah gave him that he would Allah would grant his applications. But when his father was a disbeliever, Allah basically did not forgive him.
كان الله ليضل قوما بعد إذ هداه حتى يبين لهم يا رب اغفر لي المشكلة ربنا اغفر لي ربنا اغفر لي فلما تبين له أنه عدو لله تبرأ منه.
It's just talking about the mistake on the ayah that's printed on the book here.
الذين لو كانوا يقولون بأن تبين لهم أنهم أصحاب الجنة. في كلمة لهم ساقطة يعني.
There is one word missing in that ayah.
لو صححوا الآية دي يعني. بعد ما تبين لهم أصحاب الجنة.
تبين لهم. Just check that. تبين لهم. Right, that double check on ayah number 113 of Surah Ibrahim. Ayah number 113.
وثبت في صحيح البخاري عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه.
And it's been reported in صحيح البخاري that
يلقى إبراهيم أزرا يوم القيامة.
Abraham is going to meet his father Azra in the day of judgment.
عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن إبراهيم عليه السلام يلقى
أباه
وعلى وجه آزر قترة وغضب
and آزر the father of Abraham is going to be with this cast of like dust over his face and it will be like so darkened face waiting for the punishment
فيقول له إبراهيم
and Abraham
would say to him
didn't I tell you not to disobey me and what I told you
فيقول له
and the father would say to him today I'm not going to disobey you
فيقول إبراهيم
Abraham would say to him
أنت وعدتني
Lord, you have promised me that you will never do anything that would anything that you promised me you will fulfill for me.
وأي خزي أخزى
And what is going to be more you're going to fulfill all what you promised me and today you are not going to come to
فيقول الله عز وجل
Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was going to be greater than that.
على الكافرين
So Allah will say to him, I have made the paradise, I prohibit the paradise, the disbeliever from the paradise. Then Allah will say to Ibrahim, look under your feet, or at your feet. And when he would look, he will see that his father has been changed into some kind of an animal. So Allah will change his father from the father that Abraham recognized into this animal, which is called the daba, kind of daba, which is like a hyena.
فيؤخذ بقوائمه ذلك يأخذون قوائم هذا الديخ
will be taken as an animal and thrown in the hellfire. So Allah will change Abraham's father from the feature of that Abraham knows into the an animal picture. Then will be thrown in the hellfire, and Allah will do that so Abraham will not be hurt. So Abraham will not feel any sadness.
قال فهذا لما مات مشركا لم ينفعه استغفار إبراهيم
مع
عظم جاهه وقدره
the father of Abraham died as a disbeliever
ولم ينفعه استغفار
and whatever supplication Abraham did for him never benefited him
كل هذا شيخ الإسلام رحمه الله يقدر
so شيخ الإسلام brought all of this to show and prove that you know disbelievers are not going to benefit from the supplication of anybody no matter who will supplicate for them so even if the greatest intercessor will make supplication for them it's not going to help them And Abraham example here is example.
وقد قال تعالى للمؤمنين قد كانت لكم أسوة حسنة
في إبراهيم والذين معه.
قالوا لقومهم
and he said, you have the best example in Abraham and those with him.
الله كفرنا بكم.
As they said
وبدأ
to the people that
العداوة والبغضاء.
As they said to the people that we are denouncing what you worship other than Allah سبحانه وتعالى. And now between you and us there are differences and until after you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Except in the example of Abraham who has sought forgiveness for his father.
يقول إلا قول إبراهيم لأبيه لا أستغفرن لك وما أملك لك من الله من شيء.
Where Abraham said to his father, I will ask forgiveness for you, but I have no control from Allah سبحانه وتعالى when things come to you or happen to you.
قال فقد أمر الله تعالى المؤمنين بأن يتأسوا بإبراهيم ومن اتبعه إلا في قول إبراهيم لأبيه لا أستغفرن لك.
So, which means that Abraham is going to be a good example for us in everything they did except in the supplication of Abraham for his father, which means that is something that we are not to follow Abraham on it. But anything other than that, we follow Abraham on it also. Because Allah said explicitly in the Quran, Allah does not forgive when people associate anything with him.
ففي صحيح مسلم يعني سيد الشفاعة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تنفع شفاعته للمشرك لو شفع المشرك.
In Sahih Muslim it also came that no intercession will benefit a disbeliever.
في صحيح مسلم عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه.
And in Sahih Muslim it narrated by Abi Huraira that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said
فلم يأذن لي.
That I asked Allah to seek forgiveness for my mother, he did not grant that for me. And I asked Allah if I can visit her grave, and he gave me permission. So Allah gave Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam the permission to visit his mother's grave, but not to ask forgiveness for her.
طبعا الأحاديث الثابتة في كون أبوي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في النار.
The hadith that talks that about the Prophet said, my father and your father and the hellfire. The chain of narration how authentic it is. It's not accurate. Like a man came to the Prophet and said to the Prophet, where is my father? And that man's father obviously was a disbeliever. And the Prophet said to him, your father and my father are on the hellfire. And even if that was a correct hadith, that never should never be taken as something short or negative about the Prophet himself. And for many prophets like Noah alayhi salam, his wife was not a believer, his son was not a believer. And also the wife of Lot was not a believer. And many of these prophets, I mean, their relatives may not be believers, either their parents or their kids, children.
طيب هنا الإشكال اللي هو كيف أبو يعني أبو النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم
so like in this case,
مع أنهم من أهل الفتنة.
If the prophet's parents are in the hellfire.
الجواب الأول أن يقال إن يعني زمن الذي بعث فيه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم زمن فترة لكن أهل مكة بالذات.
Another explanation of this.
كانت بلغتهم دعوة التوحيد.
The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم when he was sent, he sent to the people of Fatra. People of Fatra, these are the people of the time between Isa, Jesus and Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم.
وكانوا يجهرون بدعوة التوحيد.
And the people of Mecca at that time were believers in Allah as the creator. And they used to be very explicit and acknowledge it all the time.
ورقة بن نوفل.
And there were many of the monks that, were there at that time, like Waraqa ibn Nawfal and Sa'id ibn Zayd and others. They used to come out and see, at the certain seasons and invite people to come to the way of Allah and give and preach. And the Prophet and many of the companions like Abu Bakr and many others, they used to follow the way of Abraham until after the message of Muhammad came upon them. Like they never made oath on the idols, they never worshipped the idols. So Abu Bakr Siddiq, so there were some residuals or remainders of the true message of Abraham in the area.
So that the first,
if anyone who had died as a mushrik from the Arabs before Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was considered disbeliever because they knew about the message of Abraham. And second is that the people of Fatra, which means the people of before Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam prophethood, they're going to be cross-examined, and some of them may pass and they will end up in the paradise, and some of them end up in the hellfire based on how sincere and what did they follow from what they knew.
يبعث إليهم إيه رسولا يوم القيامة يقول إن الله يأمركم أن تلقوا بأنفسكم في النار. أهل الفترة
So the people of the Fatra, Allah will send them a messenger in the day of judgment.
And the
messenger said, Allah commanding you to throw yourself in the hellfire. And another hadith that Allah will address them and say, I am the messenger of myself to you.
فيخبرهم ثم بعد ذلك يأمرهم الله تعالى بنفسه عز وجل مباشرة
أن الله will address them directly.
فمن علم الله تعالى أنه لو جاءه الرسول لصدقه
أن الله سبحانه وتعالى would know those whom had messengers in their lives before they died. And then Allah will ask them based on the message that came to them. And if they believed in them and followed them, then they're going to be in peace. And they will be taken out of the hellfire and put in the paradise. And those whom Allah would know that they disbelieve in whatever message they had.
And
after they throw themselves in the hellfire, Allah will cross examine them and ask them. And they would say, Oh Allah, we never debated with you except because we just wanted to avoid you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah will order them and command them and they will disobey him. And then Allah will remind them that the messenger came to them and they never believed in them. So Allah is going to make the point and the proof. Because Allah knows everything. Allah knows things that before they happen, Allah would know them. Even something that never happened, Allah would know if it happened, how it would have happened. Like for example, the little boy that was killed by the Khidr, Allah knew if that boy lived long enough, he would have been a trouble for his parents and was a disbeliever. So, but that boy never lived to even practice that.
So
the point is that Allah knew that little boy, if he lived, he was going to be a disbeliever and he was going to give his parents a hard time. So those whom Allah did not send messenger to them, Allah knows If a messenger came to them, what they were going to respond to him was whether they would believe in him or whether they would reject them. But Allah is just. Allah was not going to rule upon them without first examining them and bringing the proof in front of them. So Allah has the power and the will. Allah can basically punish them without questioning. Because Allah has the pre-knowledge about their condition. But Allah will bring the evidence against them first. Then after that, Allah will give success to those whom Allah know would be believers and would follow. But those whom we were going to reject and disbelieve, Allah will punish them. So the point here that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the man came to him and asked him about his father, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Your father and my father are in the hellfire." And they said, "This is maybe one of the things that Allah has revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he told them those people were in the hellfire or not." And maybe Allah has revealed it to him, and this will be the category that Allah will question and then will end up in the hellfire. And that is because Allah will bring the proof, as we said, against them on the hereafter. And Allah would give us example in the Quran about things like that. And the example is that also nobody would be granted paradise because of his relation to the righteous, the pious people. The person has to believe in Allah and has to do the right deeds and to be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself to get the reward, and not because he is related to somebody who is pious and good. And the hadith that is not is very weak hadith, that when Allah will bring the parents of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam hereafter, and whatever the hadith says is not a strong chain hadith. The brother is asking, about the prostration of the people in front of the believers in front of Allah, and the leg will be exposed in the hereafter.
وليس دار الجزاء لكن الله لم يخليها مع ذلك من
this
شيء من الجزاء.
This life is the period of obligation and deeds, and not the period of payback and reward. But Allah will give some of the reward in this life also before the hereafter, even though this life is meant to be for the deeds, and rewards and punishments are going to be in the hereafter. But in some cases, Allah will give some of the reward in this life. Like in many verses in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Seek forgiveness from Allah. Allah will bring rain to you. Allah will give you wealth, springs." That is part of the reward that will come as a result of good deeds. Even though this life is not the time for the reward, Allah can give some of that in here.
طيب نرجع مرة أخرى فنقول يعني الشاهد هنا أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم هو سيد الشفعاء.
So the point is that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is the greatest intercessor.
فلم يأذن الله تعالى.
He asked Allah if he can make supplication and seek forgiveness for his mother, and Allah wouldn't grant that.
زار قبر أمه فبكى وأبكى
He did visit the grave of his mother,
ثم قال استأذنت ربي أن أستغفر لأمي
and he said that I ask Allah if I can seek forgiveness for my mother and Allah did not grant me
فزور القبور فإنها تذكر الموت
and he said to the companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم that I
المشرك لا تنفعه شفاعة الشافعين حتى لو كان الشافع فيه
so this believer will never get the reward or the
benefit وثبت عن أنس رضي الله عنه في الصحيح في صحيح البخاري أن رجلا قال يا رسول الله أين أبي قال في النار فلما قف دعاه فقال إن أبي وأباك
فنار said to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم where is my father and his father was not a believer when he passed away and the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said your father in the hellfire And the man looked silent. So the Prophet ﷺ said to him, Your father and my father are in the hellfire. So the man was kind of like sad when the Prophet ﷺ told him that your father is in the hellfire. So the Prophet ﷺ then added, Your father and my father are in the
hellfire. دعا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم
قريش when Allah سبحانه وتعالى said and invite the close relevant or kings of yours and they said the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم has invited some of his relatives to this
قال يا بني الكعب
of Allah سبحانه وتعالى
انقذوا انفسكم من النار يا بني مرة بن كعب أنقذوا أنفسكم
and the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said oh
يا بني عبد شمس
rescue yourself from the hellfire oh the Bani Murrah ibn Ka'b rescue yourself from the hellfire and يا بني عبد شمس and he went family by family and every one of them he said rescue yourself protect yourself from the hellfire and he even went and he said oh Fatima protect yourself or rescue yourself from the hellfire I will have no control on you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala other than I am related to you by blood
أصبحت مثل الشيء الظمأ والجفاف وإذا وصلت يعني بلة ثم الإنسان صلة الرحم يعني
and the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم basically just gave some description or example of that
وفي رواية عنه يا معشر قريش اشتروا أنفسكم من الله
the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said oh to the Qurayshi people oh Qurayshi
فإني
people
لا أغني عنكم من الله شيئا
buy your lives and yourself from Allah سبحانه وتعالى which means basically believe in Allah سبحانه وتعالى when you say that that means you do things and you dedicate your life for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the price is going to be like you give yourself and the reward you get is the paradise so that's why it's, it says buy yourself for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which means dedicate your lives and everything for Allah so you get the paradise and he said oh dear son of Abdul Muttalib I'm not going to benefit you anything from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Abbas ibn Abdul Muttalib, I will not benefit you anything from Allah, which means do things yourself and believe in Allah. Ya Sophia, which the aunt of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he also said that I will not benefit you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Ya Fatima, the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ask me from my money and wealth whatever you want but I'm not going to benefit you from Allah right
وعن عائشة رضي الله عنها لما نزلت وأنذر عشيرتك الأقربين
and it's narrated by Aisha the wife of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم Allah said and tell your relative, close relatives She said, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, Oh Fatima, the daughter of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, Oh Sophia, bint Abd al-Muttalib, I will not have any control from Allah on you. Ask me anything from my belongings, I will give it to you, but from Allah subhanahu wa
ta'ala. قال عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قام فينا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم خطيبا ذات يوم
narrated Abu Huraira narrated that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم stood up and gave a speech.
الأخذ من الغنيمة قبل أن تقسم أن يأخذ الإنسان من الغنيمة قبل التقسيم يعني في الجيش المسلم جاهد في سبيل الله وغنم
when the Muslims get any booties from the war there shouldn't be anyone to take anything until after it's been divided and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran said that one fifth should be dedicated for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and if anything was taken or captured as booties it should be reported to the leader during the war and it is not allowed or lawful for anyone to take anything from the goodies and go away with it. And that's what the word of غلول is. غلول is to take anything unrightfully from the goodies after war. And just like when somebody also is responsible for collecting the zakat money or the charity money and if they cheat on it or take anything for their own that is considered غلول also so don't take anything for yourself in that case
النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قام خطيبا فذكر الغلول فعظمه وعظم
have talked about الغلول which he just described and he just mentioned how great on the side of Allah سبحانه وتعالى
ثم قال لا
then he said
لا ألفين أحدا منكم يجيء يوم القيامة على رقبته بعير له رغاء يقول يا رسول الله أغثني
So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that none among you should come on the day of judgment with anything that he took.
He took unrightfully. فالذي غل بعيرا
that something that didn't belong to him will come with it on his head and come to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in the hereafter and say, O Prophet of Allah, help me out of this.
فإنه سيأتي يوم القيامة يحمل هذا البعير.
So like if anyone has taken something that's not his or anything from the bodies that is not right for him to take, he will come in the hereafter carrying that thing that he took on his head. And he will come to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and say, Oh Prophet of Allah, help me out of this.
لا أملك لك من الله شيء.
And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, I cannot do anything for you at this point. Allah is going to rule upon you.
لا ألفين أحدكم يجيء يوم القيامة على رقبته فرس له حمحمة
and nobody يقول يا رسول الله with like a horse over his head and that is something that he took from the booties and he shouldn't have done that
يا رسول
and he will come oh prophet of Allah help me
يقول لا أملك لك شيء
and I will say to him that I cannot do anything for
لا ألفين أحدكم يجيء يوم القيامة على رقبته
should come to me with like a sheep on his head like the sheep on his head that is making the sound and he will come and say oh Prophet of Allah help me out because this person also took something that didn't belong to him from the
Buddhists and Prophet of Allah said
I cannot do anything for you and also somebody will come nobody should come to me who's carrying like fabrics or clothes on his head and he said oh Prophet of Allah help me out with this and Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said no I cannot do anything for
you يا رسول الله أغثني فأقول لا أملك لك شيئا قد أبلغته
And he will answer them, I can't do anything for you because I told you already not to do this. I told you not to cheat on these booties. And these are going to be things like animals that are living animals or things that are objects like gold and silver. They will come with such subjects and they will ask the same question and the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم say I cannot help you I did tell you before not to do this so this is a hadith that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is warning people that what people cannot take, things that did not belong to them, did not should not take from the Buddhists. And the Prophet gave many examples and how people are going to come, even though they hide those things and take them away, nobody sees them. But they come in the hereafter and they will be carrying those things on their head. Everyone will see them. And they will come and seek the help from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Too late, I can't help you with this." And here Allah decreed that Allah wanted to punish them for what they did. So,
وزاد مسلم في صحيحه لا ألف
ينّ
يوم القيامة على رقبته نفس لها صيام.
That a person will come in the day of judgment carrying another soul on their head, and that soul will be screaming. And also if a person carrying it will say, "Oh Prophet of Allah, help me." And the Prophet said, "I cannot do anything for you." And the Prophet also in Sahih Bukhari said that none of you should come to me on the day of judgment with a sheep over his neck. That's making sound. And ask the Prophet for help. And the Prophet will say, "I cannot help you because I have told you before about this." And here when the term لا أملك لك من الله شيئا is just like when Abraham said to his father, "I will ask forgiveness for you, but I have no control, I cannot benefit you if Allah did not want it." So here is one of the limits where the intercession may not be effective.
نحن نطلب منه شيئا يعني أعطاه الله إياه فنقول الشفاعة هي ملك لله تعالى.
And after all, the intercession is something that belongs to Allah سبحانه وتعالى. And Allah سبحانه وتعالى will okay Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم when he intercedes. But it belongs to Allah after all.
هي لله سبحانه.
Allah is the one who on the intercession. And Allah will only give Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم permission to make that intercession for people. And Allah will only give permission to some people to do the intercession. But it belongs to Allah. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we should be included in the intercession of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because Allah is the honor of the intercession of the shafa'ah. It's not Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but you cannot go to the grave of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and say, "Oh Muhammad, intercede for me." No, you ask Allah to include you in the intercession that Muhammad is going to make in the day of judgment. Because Muhammad does not own the intercession. He only gets the permission. Even on all the messengers and prophets of Allah, they do not own any of the intercessions. But they get permission from Allah.
وَأَمَّا شَفَاعَتُهُ وَدُعَاؤُهُ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ فَهِيَ نَافِعَةٌ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ.
And the intercession of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and his supplication for the believers are of great benefit in this life and in their faith and deen. And this is what all the Muslims agreed upon that.
متفق عليها بين.
And also his intercession in hereafter.
Is
going to result in increasing of the good deeds for the believers and to raising their status in the paradise. This is also something all the Muslims agreed upon. So when the Prophet made the supplication and intercession, the believers will benefit some of that in this life and in the hereafter. Like the Prophet will make supplication that Allah will give somebody more offsprings or more wealth, or Allah will reward that and grant it in this life also before the hereafter. And the hereafter, that's also be the intercession.
ورفع
where the
الدرجات
more of the good
متفق
deeds will
عليها
increase
بين
for the
المسلمين.
believers and their
وقد
status
قيل
will
إن
be
بعض أهل البدع
of higher level.
إن بعض أهل البدع ينكرون هذه الأنواع من شفاعة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
Now some of the people of innovations actually they negate and they deny some of the intercessions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم.
إن الله تعالى إن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يشفع يعني يطلب من الله تعالى أن يرفع درجات المؤمنين. كل الشخص له عمل
And
صالح يوصله إلى
for
درجة
example when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم will ask Allah to help the believer and Allah will raise the status of the believer in the paradise.
التي يعني كان فيها وهذه شفاعة ثابتة للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
And this is one of the شفاعة and the intercession that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم will do or get in the hereafter.
طيب هذا الموضع يعني فيه الكلام عن أنواع شفاعة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وما هو خاص به صلى الله عليه وسلم من الأنواع التي يشترك معه
we have to, at this point, what these are the types of the شفاعة. What are the different types of the شفاعة. And we will stop at this point here. And we will continue next week. That will be at point 17, I guess. Yeah. Is there any question? What if somebody see a pious person and ask them to make some dua for them? This falls under the permissible means. Like if you see somebody and he looks pious to you and he says, make some dua for me. And when you say permissible, that means it's okay. But as we will see later on, the Shaykh al-Islam has made some warning about that type. That if we need something, we should face towards Allah directly and not to go to somebody and seek help as if that if we go to Allah, it's not going to work.
So,
and that will even be a better way and that you show that you are really rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not on
somebody. الأفضل أنك لا تطلب عنه.
But it is generally fall under the permissible type of means to ask somebody to make a supplication. And whether that person is pious or not pious, Allah knows that and not you. But the preferred way is to just face directly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yourself and ask for the help. And if we say it is permissible to ask a pious person to make a supplication, doesn't mean that we make that the norm of our supplication. And every time we need something, we ask somebody to do it for us.
وكذا يعني ما يرجى معه إن شاء الله أن يكون يعني سبب
So the conclusion is that the best way is to do it yourself directly towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
لا مانع يعني مثلا يطلب أو كذا أحيانا من شخص مثلا
But it is permissible, it's okay from time to time if you ask somebody to make supplication for you, but don't make it a habit all the time you ask somebody to make supplication. It is permissible but not to be abused by any means or to make it as a norm or all the time.
طبعا طلب من النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في حياته هذا له يعني خصوصية يعني لمقام رسول الله.
But then people when they ask the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم that's maybe special for the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم himself.
غير النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
And it's not and others other than the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم are not the same as the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم.
سؤال. تفضل. احنا ذكرنا ان هذا النوع من التوسل يقال له التوسل البدعي اللي هو ان تقول اللهم اني اسالك بجاه نبيك او بخاتمه
And this is called an innovation type of supplication when you say oh Allah I ask you by the honor of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم and Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم already dead from our life today. And that is considered innovative type of supplication, and it is not okay.
تطلب منه
worse
بعد
than
ما
that is when you ask the dead person to help you.
If
somebody will go to a grave, raise their hands and ask the dead person to help them. So that's considered like shirk, like associating somebody with Allah that you ask a dead person. So, if somebody take the money, public money, like from, is that considered غلول? As we said before, غلول basically is limited to booties from the war. If somebody will take them without the right, that's
غلول.
Sorry, is it, if somebody steals, considered غلول too? غلول has its specific meaning and it has its common meaning. The general meaning of it is that anyone who will transgress and take something that doesn't belong to them is considered غلول. But the specific meaning of it in this ayah is that the booties, things and items after the war. But if taking the money of the, from the public or from the government, the question is that the hadith that said that if the people, the believers who were punished in the hellfire for a short time, then they would be put in this qantara for some time before they can put in the paradise. And the answer is that all people would be crossing the bridge, the sirat, the very thin bridge, and after that, and part of that path, the sirat, or the bridge, is called qantara. So the sirat is like a very sharp bridge that everyone has to cross. And once they are over the most of the bridge, they come to this qantara, which is like another phase in that sirat or bridge. And at that point in Qantara, after they pass the majority of the bridge, that's where Allah will rule upon things that believers did against believers. Like if somebody has did something wrong to his brother, then that's where Allah will rule on it on that Qantara's face. And as a result of that, some of the believers will either gain higher status in the paradise, or some of them will go lower in their status. Like somebody who did something wrong, his brother, Allah will take some good deeds from the wrongdoer too and give it to the one who was up.
What made the piety of some of the Sahaba better, different than others where they were asked to intercede?
السؤال بيقول انه بين الصحابه ليه في تفضيل بين انه يعني الـ 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 الوسيله طلبت من بعض الصحابه مش من غيرهم يعني زي مثل ما ذكرت انه نعم. العباس ليه ما من غيره مثلا
هو لا عمر بس يعني عمر رضي الله عنه
واي عمر سبيسيفايد العباس
العباس يعني
and not somebody else even though they were all companions
انه يطلب منه ان يدعو له استسقاء انه نطلب ايه
Why not from somebody else who was also a companion? Why was Abbas specifically? Of course, this is just Umar judgment, and he just decided. Umar made the decision, and there isn't any specific reason. But he just thought that Abbas was one of the pious people, and he was fit to do it. And he believed that Abbas was one of the pious, and he hoped that if Abbas would make supplication, Allah would grant it. When the Prophet ﷺ was alive,
حضر حياة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم
يطلب
منه يقول يا رسول الله اشفع لي عند ربك
to ask the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم to make the intercession for us.
تطلب من النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يشفع لك عند الله تعالى.
And it's permissible to ask him to ask Allah to ask Allah. It's permissible to ask the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم to ask Allah to include you and his intercession in the day of judgment. As long as he is alive and you are asking him directly, that's permissible.
الشيخ النجاد رحمة الله عليه يعني كان يقول مثلا إذا شخص مثلا تتوقع أن يموت شهيدا يعني مقبل مثلا على
عن ابن باز for example may Allah show his grave with mercy he said if there is somebody and you know that this person is going to die as a shaheed and before he die you can ask him and he said please make dua for me as long as he is alive but not after he is dead so that's permissible. We will stop here inshallah and we'll continue next week. Jazakum ya. Jazakum ya. Barakallahu fiik.